Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, and as a trained and certified Christian mindset coach, I've helped hundreds of Christian women discover brain science-based mindset tools to help them grow closer to God and break free from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and feeling like they're never enough. The Christian Mindset Coach is the award-winning podcast that shows you how to use simple brain science principles and biblical truth to renew your mind for lasting confidence, joy, and peace. I'm so glad you're here. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of The Christian Mindset Coach. I'm Alicia Michelle, your host. And if you've been raised in chaos and dysfunction, then the chances are that you as a child, we were looking for some sort of security. You were looking for a way to feel seen, to feel like, is everything okay? Like, how do I find that connection with others? And for a lot of us, we fall into a pattern of doing whatever it takes to keep the peace, whatever it takes to make other people happy, because we think, okay, well, if this is going on, then maybe I am the problem. So I'm just going to take all the weird feelings that I'm feeling, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to make others' lives easier and to feel that sense of peace that I'm not getting from these other situations. And so people-pleasing is a very common thing. A lot of us struggle with it, but we may not know what to do with that. We've felt like maybe for a lot of us, we've struggled with this our whole lives. I deal with women every day in my coaching practice who have struggled with people-pleasing. And I know that's something that I have struggled with. And it has taken a long time for God to unwind some things in me. But it's, I know, something that's very sensitive for a lot of women. So I wanted to make sure that we brought on Courtney Berg. She is an author of a new book called Loyal to a Fault, which talks about this idea of how do we establish new patterns to love others when we have been stuck in things like people-pleasing, and when we don't know what is that boundary between honoring and serving and loving others and also obeying God and respecting His temple, ourselves, and not necessarily being in the way sometimes of the work He wants to do through us and other people. So this conversation with Courtney, I think, is a great conversation if you're struggling with people-pleasing. Courtney is the founder of Discover Your Worth, which is an online membership designed to support women with practical tools to break free from codependency while establishing a healthy boundary practice. Courtney has an undergrad degree in psychology from the University of Florida, and she's currently pursuing her master's in evangelism and leadership. And she and her husband, Jim, live in South Florida with their four young children. So this is that conversation with Courtney. And I encourage you, as you hear the things she's talking about, to try to figure out, is this an issue that I'm struggling with, right? To ask yourself that question. And then to say, which of these ideas that she's giving for a next step would be something that you would do? Here's that conversation with Courtney. Hey, Courtney, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, I received your book and I love that you are covering this really important topic of people-pleasing. And so just to kind of start off our conversation, where do you see from your own research on this topic and your own experience, where do you see this issue of people-pleasing arising from for most people?
For most of the women I work with, and from my own experience, I think that we crave connection and security in our family of origin. Yeah. So I really do believe it's an early pattern of behavior that we adapt as a young child, and then it carries on with us into our adult relationships. And that's where, again, the women I work with, they think it's a good thing, but then the good thing turns into a bad thing. And we have to go back and look at where that kind of started and why it started and how it snowballed, and then how we can kind of untangle ourselves from it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's like there's that connection that's there, but that connection comes at a cost because it's not from a healthy perspective. So what are some ways that you see that being an unhealthy attachment in relationships?
Well, it's unhealthy because it's manufactured. So I have found that when we people please or we function from a place of codependency, we're striving to keep ourselves comfortable and we're trying to control the relationship and the outcome and the narrative. And that's very self-serving. It really does feed our pride. And I didn't really want to admit it to myself when I started this work, just how selfish it is. And as believers, you know, if we understand and truly believe the one who controls all things, then we can trust him with our relationships, and we can also go to him for guidance on how to function well inside of those relationships. And so I realized I wasn't going to God at all. I wasn't inviting him in at all inside of those relationships. And so it really, it comes from that place of fear and control. And I'm going to continue doing this because I know that the payoff is going to be something that helps me feel needed and wanted and secure.
Interesting you used the word selfish, because I think those of us who struggle with people pleasing would not say selfish. So yeah, share more about that.
We wouldn't, because we're believing the lie, we're perpetuating and believing the lie that we are helpful and that we love people and we're giving of ourselves and serving them because that's what the Lord asks of us. But really we're manipulating that scripture. And if we are functioning from any sort of fear or anxiety or insecurity, then the fruits of that is never going to be joy, peace, love, patience, self-control. And we see that in our relationships. We see it. We see irritability, especially this time of year. I'm not sure when this episode's coming out, but we see irritability. We see resentment. We see disappointment. And, you know, the women that say, well, I'm doing this for my child, and yet they're snapping at their child. It doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that mom is doing it so that she looks like the good mom. That's where that selfishness comes in.
Okay.
You know, and so we have to just get really clear on, am I doing this for me or am I doing it for the other person? Am I feeding my pride and my insecurities? Am I trying to control the way this relationship is? Am I trying to keep this person close? I mean, the fear of losing a relationship is usually the number one reason why we try to please that person in the first place.
Right. Yeah. And I think sometimes we think, well, we forget that it's not just us trying to make that other person happy. Sometimes it's we're not listening to our own needs being expressed and we're willing to just go to peace instead of, you know, expressing those. I was in a situation recently where I felt like it would be much easier if I just shut my mouth and didn't say anything. But there was that little voice inside me, that little girl that was like, no, you need to stand up and you need to say something because you need to advocate for this. Or whether it was in that situation, just something for me and my family, or if it was something for a child, it's much easier for me to just be like, okay, I'll just deal with it inside and, you know, and not make them angry. But sometimes it's not selfish, it's not the right word, but we need to stand up for what God is raising up in us as righteous and needing to be addressed.
Yes, I think it's those core values. As believers, we have these values that we, you know, commit to. Mm-hmm. Once we commit to being, you know, disciples of Jesus. So there's like these non-negotiables, but then there's also, you know, whether you're single or married or you have children, these core values that you stand for and you have to guard. And so in an example like that, where you want to speak up, but you can't, it's a practice of, wait, why can't I? What am I afraid of?
Yeah.
And, you know, in scripture, it says we're not to fear the thoughts and opinions of man. Like, we're supposed to fear God. And so if we're, again, functioning in our relationships or in our parenting or in our marriage from a place of fearing that person, that's when things get messed up. And that's when we see the byproduct of that, which is that discontentment, the anxiety, the depression, the fear revealing itself.
Yeah. I think you brought up something really interesting in the book, which I hadn't really thought about with this side of people pleasing. And that is that maybe one coping skill that a lot of us struggle with is when we're people pleasing is we won't say it to that person, but then we'll go to our sister or our mom or our husband and be like, oh my gosh, look what she did again today, you know, but we're putting on this face with that other person. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how does gossip and like not being willing to just stand up, how does that kind of all play into this messiness too?
It really does. We are very good, the majority of us and the women I work with, at kind of sidestepping healthy confrontations. So if you grew up in a childhood where there was conflict in the home, which most people had some sort of conflict, whether it was active and in your face and loud, or mom would disappear, that's still conflict. That's still friction. That's still tension there.
Right.
And so a lot of us, you know, we become adults and we don't actually know how to engage in disagreement. We don't actually know how to have an assertive dialogue with somebody. We don't know how to respectfully disagree. And so it's no wonder we can't set a boundary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a boundary is essentially saying, I don't agree with this. It's really what it says. And so,
right.
You know, going in on these hard conversations, it does take practice because it's like learning a new language. And again, many of us weren't gifted an opportunity to practice that as a child.
Yes.
Of having that healthy, safe confrontation. Okay, I'm not going to lose your love and affection because we disagree.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, we're adults and we're like, how are we supposed to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we miss that other part of it too. If we are not strong in our identity of who we are in God, there is a risk too. If we don't have that foundation of saying, anyone can say anything to me because I know who I am in Christ. If we don't, we're all, that's 100%, right? We're maybe, if we're working towards 99%, none of us are perfectly at that place. But if we have that as an insecurity, if we're not strong in that, then it's much more tempting and much more needing of us to have others' opinions and to keep those relationships safe and to not say anything. So it's like growing in Christ, having that stability in Christ really helps in this too.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, and part of, there's a piece in the book where, you know, I talk about the core values that I've mentioned and then just really, you know, reinforcing that with our behavior. So the premise of the book is these patterns of behavior. And yes, knowing who you are in Christ and what he says about you and making that the loudest voice you hear is a way that we can reinforce these new patterns that we're learning to function with inside our relationships. Because again, if we come from this place of fear or insecurity or I'm not enough,
yes,
right. Then we're going to manufacture ways to be enough to that person to earn their favor.
Exactly.
And it doesn't end well.
Hmm. What are those statements that we tell ourselves there? I know you had shared a couple in the book of like, well, if this, then I need to do that. What are some common ones you hear that women struggle with?
So this concept of like loyal to a fool, I thought being loyal to originally my parents and my brothers meant, you know, if I don't pay his rent, then I'm not a loyal sister. If I don't lie about the addiction happening in our home, then I'm not a loyal daughter. If I don't, you know, even becoming a grown woman and having female friends, if I don't, you know, tell her I could help her with that, then she may not invite me to that next thing. And I want to be a part of that. And so there's a lot of fear if I don't act out in these ways or behave or deliver in these ways that are expected of me, then I won't be perceived, you know, in business. If I don't show up early and stay late, you know, boundaries in the workplace. If I don't answer that call from my coworker on the weekends, then I won't look like a committed member of the team. There's a lot of lies that we believe and we wrap up inside that narrative of what it means to be loyal, hardworking, loving, caring. And I, for one, was, I mean, that's in part why I wrote the book, just kind of fighting back against that worldly narrative.
What do we say to those voices?
Well, I think we hear them.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a tape that comes up for me. I think we hear them. And then I think we do what, you know, the exercise I walk through readers in the book is, you know, we hold those thoughts captive. And so we can't stop thinking thoughts. But I think that's why God gave us instruction on what to do with those thoughts. And so in the book, it's like, hey, hold these thoughts captive, hold them up to me. Let's look at them together and let's hold them up against scripture. What is true? What is not? What am I believing? Because we can make up a lot of things. I mean,
sure.
My undergrad's in psychology. And one of the things I learned is, you know, we connect the dots. So if a story is not complete, we'll complete it for a sense of safety. And I think we do that in our relationships. Well, if she's not calling me back, she must be mad at me. Well, you know, and we connect a dot to another dot. And often it's not true. And so there's an exercise in the book that, you know, let's think these thoughts, but let's write them down. Let's write them down and see what they're actually saying. And then let's look at scripture and compare them to the word of God and do that work. And over time, as you exercise this, you can do it in the car line at school. You can do it in the grocery store. You can start to say, okay, no, that's not true. That's a lie I'm believing about myself. Or maybe somebody said it to me verbally or non-verbally, and I'm carrying that with me. You know, but we have authority over our thoughts and we can begin to replace them with much more God-honoring thoughts. But it takes that exercise of noticing, acknowledging, and replacing.
Right.
In order to do that.
Yeah. That's very powerful. I totally agree with that. how do you address the issue that women would say of, well, how do I know if it is a lie? Because I know I'm supposed to honor my parents. I know I'm supposed to serve others. So how do I know when it is a lie and when it's something that God is just telling me, you know what, tough up, girl, serve and be, you know, don't complain.
Sure. Well, that's a great question. I think that it's going to be contextual. So, you know, there are opportunities for us to, like you said, suck it up and serve, you know, I do. I really do.
Yeah.
And throughout the book, you know, I remind readers that they have to go to God in their relationships and ask the Holy Spirit to guide them in discernment. There are many times throughout our day where we can say no, or, you know, when you, the first thing you touched on, honoring our family, I had to fight that because I was honoring their wounds and the sinning and the dysfunction. And I thought that meant loving them. And so God really walked me through that and helped me unpack what that really meant by honoring my parents. And as an adult, we're not actually meant to remain obedient to our parents anymore. And I think that's where a lot of adult children stay unhealthily, like, tethered to their family of origin, because we do, especially Christian women, get that pressure, you know, that scripture used against each other. And so for me now, I understand honoring them sometimes means not going to that thing that I know they're going to be at where drinking is involved, because I can actually guard my mouth and, you know, guard myself. Honoring them now means, you know, taking care of my husband and my family in a way that honors God. And so, you know, the latter question that you had was, well, how do they know if it's a lie? That's, first of all, the word of God, and also talking to the Holy Spirit and asking for that discernment and wisdom of, am I believing something that somebody is using to bring me down, to discourage me? What is this, Lord, in my mind that I'm believing about myself? And how is it that I'm meant to serve this person? Because I think we get it confused, especially Christians. You know, we think we're meant to serve each other because that's what God needs. But we always are meant to serve God first in our relationships.
Yeah.
And so we have to look at, okay, love God with your whole heart, with your whole, you know, all of your strength, your whole soul, then each other. Mm-hmm. First commandment. Second, like, and so I think we're trying to serve each other in a way that pleases God instead of looking at God and saying, how do I serve you, God, in this relationship?
Yeah.
How can I be your hands and feet in this relationship? Communing with him and dwelling with him daily.
Right.
About what does this look like to be a wife that honors you? What does this look like to be a sister or daughter that honors you? We don't have to earn the Lord's favor in that way, you know, in those works. And so having that dialogue with him and trusting that he'll guide your steps in that.
Hmm. Alicia here. If you're tired of feeling never enough, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay stuck in the exhaustion of perfectionism, people-pleasing, or trying to prove yourself worthy. What if I told you there's a secret weapon for rewiring your mind to align with God's truth? The proven brain science tool that pro athletes have used for decades and that I've been using with hundreds of Christian women to break free from this idea of feeling never enough. I want to tell you all about it at this workshop, Break Free from Never Enough. Yes, you can find healing from a lifetime of worry, of shame, and striving. Sign up for the Break Free from Never Enough workshop at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. This workshop is absolutely free. Why wouldn't you join me? Pick a workshop time that works for you at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. Yeah. And like we said before, having that security and that we are not earning it with God by trying to serve someone else. Like if someone is mad, I really think, of course, it comes back to safety. Like if we feel like if we do something wrong and that relationship is threatened, we don't feel safe to fully be ourselves in a relationship, then we're going to not say anything, especially if there's been that trauma before. And if we don't also have that underneath of Christ as our foundation, and we know we're secure, we're not serving him to get more favor. We're serving him because of the favor he's already given us. Like we're already secure. Mm-hmm. That's a huge distinction. I think it's really important to mention that. So it is both. I mean, there's so much more freedom in serving from that perspective.
It is. There is a lot of freedom when we unhook each other from being each other's Messiah. You know, we go into relationships and we think we don't have any expectations, but we do. Mm-hmm. When we can unhook each other from, hey, you have to fulfill me. You have to complete me. You have to heal and fix me and rescue me. You have to keep me happy. I have to keep you happy. What happens is we create white space and there's margins to just be with each other. And there's a lot more acceptance and compassion. And I think that's where the beauty is found. And in my book, I have this, you know, image that I created, and it's just two circles. And, you know, when I first started healing from codependency, this was me. And I know people that are listening, but I had a circle that was me. And then this was everybody else. And I was just overlapped with them. Like my happiness was dependent on theirs. And over the course of 10 years, I've slowly opened that overlap where we're touching, we're engaging, we're enjoying life together, we're grieving together and celebrating together. But I'm not their everything and they're not my everything. And I think we live in a society now where if a mother is not obsessing over her children, she's not a good mom. Or if she's not, you know, catering to her husband at every beck and call, or she's not working 9 to 5, but also at the school, she's not doing everything at this full capacity and she's not consumed by her to-do list, then she's not doing it right. And I really do believe that we have to create those margins of space between each other and not fear that. I think that healthy connection requires healthy separation for us to truly appreciate each other for who we are.
Yeah. It's interesting you're sharing that. I was thinking about how do you see Jesus modeling that in the Gospels of how he interacted with other people, pleasing God versus not pleasing man, but still obviously serving, loving? Like, how did he manage that line?
I think that probably the most common one is just him taking time away for rest. You know, he's sleeping on the boat. You know, he separates himself to go to pray, you know, to his Father. I mean, and again, it's how often do you and I actually carve out time for prayer? You know, how often do we take a nap? How often, you know, do we not only give ourselves permission, but like take that Sabbath day as a command? And so I look at that and I think, wow, you know, walking with Jesus and becoming more like Jesus has become such a tagline and a meme. And we've made it like almost overcomplicated it and like romanticized it so much that it's kind of hard to grasp. It's like almost like a fairy tale, and it's a lot simpler than that. And, you know, I think if nothing else, it's just not fearing. You know, being obedient to God is not going to always be well received and liked by other people.
Yeah.
And we've become this culture and this society that, you know, being a celebrity and being liked and having these followers is everything. And if somebody doesn't like me, then I'm paralyzed and I'm crippled, that I'm losing sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Jesus, I wrote about in the book, you know, God, I believe God wants to get us to eternity with him. And I don't think he cares whether or not we like how we get there, you know, meaning, he's going to do what he needs to sanctify us. And so, you know, to your original point, we can look to Jesus and his life. There's a book I recently read. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Puri. I don't know if you've read it.
I've read it several times. Yes.
Yes. I'm like on my second pass through. And it's brilliant in so many ways, but it's just such a gentle, sweet reminder that, you know, the way Jesus lived wasn't, you know, these flowers and butterflies and, you know, this live like Jesus bracelet. You know, it's a little bit more the obedience piece.
Definitely.
That Jesus wanted to die on the cross because he knew God had a bigger plan, but he didn't really want to die on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't. We saw that in the garden. I mean, he was asking God, can you please take this away from me?
Please.
He's obedient. Yeah.
He didn't want to leave his friends. He didn't want to suffer. And I think, what is it that God's asking us each day to, you know, suffocate the flesh with, you know? Be a little less comfortable.
Yeah, right. And in our culture, we don't think of that often as how to stand up for what God would want versus what, you know, trying to please someone else. I think that's kind of a glorified sin, if I could use that word. Like, I'm serving. Look at how giving I am. Look at how kind I am. You know, there's kind of a status that comes with that.
Yes. And we've confused keeping others happy with being obedient to God.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm serving them and fulfilling them and helping make them whole. So I must be obedient to God. That's not actually what scripture requires of us.
Right.
And yeah, sometimes I would even go as far as to say that maybe making people unhappy is probably, you know, serving God in a way. I write about in the book how codependency had led me to believe that I was helping these people that I cared about, but in fact, I was hurting them. Mm. What I mean by that is I was perhaps the very thing between them and God, between them and the pain that they needed to change.
Yeah.
I was kind of like that little safety net of like paying his rent or getting him out of jail or helping her with that thing because she was irresponsible, or listening to that friend vent because she just wasn't willing to walk away from that guy. And, you know, I think sometimes God says, hey, if you would just get out of the way, these people could get the help that they really need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we forget that people pleasing isn't just hurting us and potentially our relationship with God. It could be holding back what God wants to do in someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So if someone's like, okay, so I have an issue with this, where do they start to kind of unravel this and begin to work through it?
Well, in my book, I go through this family of origin inventory. I don't know if you saw that, but it's a great framework to start with because, okay, I have these patterns. I think I'm people pleasing. I think I'm codependent. I don't know. All these words seem really big, but
yeah,
let's just go back and look at some of these patterns that we inherited and decide for ourselves. And so the family of origin inventory walks, you know, women through, you know, the messaging and the early conditioning that they received as children. So whether it's boundary work or faith, religion, spirituality, you know, discipline, how was discipline handled as a child? Was it consistent? Did you have routines? Was there predictability? Like you said, safety is such a big one that we just overlook.
Yeah.
We equate safety to, oh, I had a house with a roof over my head and food on it, you know, and that's like the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And so when we unpack some of those, when we do the family of origin inventory, we can decide then, okay, what comes with me and what is it that I really just need to sit down and give over to God time and time again? And it takes some time. It takes, you know, some grace with ourselves, because I think when we first start to unpack some of these early traits that are dysfunctional ways of connecting or manufactured ways of connecting, it can kind of be overwhelming because you realize, wow, I've been doing this my whole life. This is how I've cared for people, or this is what people expect of me. That's a big one. Like, I'm expected to be that gal that does all the things. And so I think that's a really great place to start, probably a really practical place to start.
Okay.
And, you know, and then just willing to do the work to take those small steps towards replacing those patterns.
Yeah. You were talking, made me think of when our kids were really little. I have four kids. When they were little, we would say we saw them do something that we had to talk to them about or discipline them for. We would say, okay. And they would say, I'm sorry. And then we would say, all right, God is going to give you an opportunity to encounter the situation again sometime in the near future. So keep your eyes open for it. And when it happens,
the test will come again.
You get to decide how you're going to respond this time, right? He gives you a second chance. He's forgiven you. And I think of that in this work we do with people pleasing. Like, we can look at a family of origin and see all the issues. And then it's like, don't be surprised when God raises up this thing in your life where you're like, that hurts. I really don't want to have to say something. Or I, you know, where is the line? And it's like, he's good and kind to give us opportunities to begin to practice this.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We do. I have a client, and I actually write about her situation in the book, where she was at work. I'll share with you quickly. She was at work and there was a coworker that apparently had dated her husband. And she didn't know it.
Oh, gosh.
She had said, oh, yeah, we had kissed. This was long before you were married. And she kind of said that off the cuff. And my client was really, you know, taken off guard. She didn't know what to say. And so she did what she knew best, which was smile and just consume the discomfort and laugh it off. And, you know, that was one of the things I had shared with her, is that you'll get another opportunity, not with her, but with somebody else. But it's never too late to actually go back and assert yourself. And so she did. When they weren't at work, she said, you know, that was inappropriate. And because we think that when we ignore things, that they'll go away. But what happens is we consume them. And so she had said to me for weeks that she fought with her husband about it. And we think a small thing is a small thing, but it develops into a big thing. And so that one comment that was super disrespectful and inappropriate, she had consumed and carried home with her. And so, yes, the test will come up. And I said, you can still go back and assert yourself with her, but, you know, it'll happen again. Not that specific situation, but we do have opportunities every day to confidently, you know, not people please and assert boundaries that will help establish our self-worth again and help us grow in our confidence.
Oh, I love this. Thank you for what you shared today. This has been really powerful. Some really great instances and places to start. So where can ladies find out more information about the book and about the work that you do?
Sure. So my website is CourtneyJBird.com. And that's my social media handles. And the book is available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever books are sold.
Awesome. And Berg, B-E-R-G or B-U-R-G?
It's B-U-R-G. And the book's called Loyal to a Fault.
Perfect.
Yeah, C-U-R-G. Okay. Some people get it confused.
I know. I'm sure it's, that happens all the time. People spell my name wrong, so I understand that. But I wanted to make sure we understood that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing today. We really appreciate your time. Something we didn't talk about in that conversation was this idea that when we look at a situation where we feel like perhaps we are being taken advantage of or we are trying to please other people, we feel this paralyzing feeling of, wow, I don't know what to do. For me, I get stuck in this overthinking cycle of, okay, what if I do this? And what if that happens? What if I do this? And maybe I'll say that. And I just find myself incredibly anxious. It's probably the number one thing that would spike my anxiety at this point in my life. And God has taken a lot of that away from me. And I feel like now I can see the difference between when I am serving well and obeying him and when I am trying to please somebody else and to not make people mad. He's really allowed me to have that tool. But now, and this is the part I think that we all have to walk in, is when we have that awareness, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to respond? Are we going to change? Are we going to be obedient when we have that awareness? So maybe you're like, okay, I have an awareness, but I would encourage you, if you have that awareness and you know what's happening, ask God what the next step is to obedience. Ask him, what is it that I need to do? And goodness, give me the courage. Give me the courage and the strength to do it. And remind me again of who I am in you. And that if someone is mad at me, if this relationship is disrupted, give me the courage and the confidence to know that the love that you have for me is not going anywhere, that I can do this and I can still feel safe and secure. Because ultimately, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to feeling like when that security could potentially be rocked, the security in a relationship with someone else, is there still security left in Christ? Do we still feel confident enough to move forward because we know to the bottom of our toes that we are solid in who we are in Christ? So sometimes it's a great opportunity for me when I'm in these situations to reestablish that reminder from God that he's got it. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I can, quote, cause someone distress in the name of asserting myself around something that needs to be taken care of, things that are imbalanced in a relationship. It's part of my confidence. It's part of being a confident woman of God. And that's scary and that's tricky. And we have to expect sometimes that there might be some repercussions for that. We have to always ask God when we move forward in these ways to what does he want us to do? And then we can trust when we do that, we can trust that he's going to help us through those repercussions if they come up. And if they don't, great. But if they do, we can know that we're okay. But again, even if the safety is threatened in a certain relationship or a situation, our ultimate safety and foundation is not going to be threatened because it cannot change based on who we are in Christ. Hope this conversation was encouraging to you today and gave you that, whether it's an opportunity to ask for more awareness about the situation, about what, how is people pleasing happening in my life? How am I being a people pleaser? Or if you have that awareness, I hope it's given you courage to know that it's okay to step forward and to say things, and that there is hope on the other side when we do that. So if you want to learn more about Courtney, I encourage you to check out her book. It's called Loyal to a Fault, and it's by Courtney Berg, B-U-R-G. And you can check out all the resources that she recommended here in our conversation as well. So take care, friend. We will continue these kinds of great conversations next week. I look forward to joining you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today for the Christian Mindset Coach. If you love today's show, you've got to check out my free mindset workshop. In this free training, I share about the secret weapon for rewiring our brain to align with God's truth, the proven brain science tool that pro athletes and high achievers have used for decades. I've personally helped hundreds of Christian women use this tool to find healing from a lifetime of worry, shame, and striving. And I'd love to help you use this tool in your life as well. Sign up now for this free training at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you back here next week.